Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We are off 30 minutes early today because of the Royals. They look to get back to winning ways in game 2 of their series against the Tampa Bay Rays. All right, Rob. We've been talking a lot about the offense today. Let's continue our talk about the offense. You know what? I'm not even mad. I'm not going to say that I'm mad. I'm just disappointed. And part of me is just honestly confused. I want to know what went wrong with the Royals offense. Because we looked this up. Last year at the All-Star break, the Royals were 13th in runs scored. They were 13th. This was not a bad offense by any means. Now, it wasn't one of the top upper echelon offenses in Major League Baseball, but the Royals offense was fine. It was fine. Runs between game 1 and the All-Star break, the Royals were a fine, capable offense. Then you remember coming out of the All-Star break, I don't know what had happened to Bobby Witt Jr., but he was on fire coming out of the All-Star break. Something changed with the Royals, and it felt like it changed really with the Vinny injury. They have been a drastically different offense, and their offense has basically struggled now for, what, 5 months? Their offense struggled in September, they struggled in the postseason, and they have struggled the entire baseball season. They're dead last in runs. Every team in Major League Baseball has scored more runs this season than the Kansas City Royals. So, like, part of me is just frustrated, disappointed. Hey, you guys are putting together one of the best pitching performances that the Royals as an organization have ever had. And yet you guys can't be 19th, 20th in offense. If the Royals were 19th or 20th in offense, we'd be talking about a team that was likely going to the postseason. But that's not the team that we're talking about. Now, I'm not saying that you should fully give up on the Royals, but it does seem very, very simple to me. Hey, if we're talking about the Royals really making a run at this thing, really getting back in it, really being a team that can compete for a wild card spot, you can't be 30th in offense. Nobody is saying you got to be 11th in offense. You can't be dead last in offense. You got to figure out a way to get toward the middle, but I feel like we've been saying that for so long, I'm just starting to more and more seriously doubt if that was even the case. So I guess my first question of the 5 o'clock hour is just a quite simple. How did we get here with the Royals? How did we get from an offense that basically has the same foundation last year? How do we get from an offense that was above league average to them not being a bad offense to them being the absolute worst offense in all of Major League Baseball? When did this happen?
I wish I knew. And the text, I mean, I have theories. It could be the runners in scoring position thing. It could be the less home runs thing. I feel like everyone has ideas how we got here, but the harsh reality is if they don't fix the here and however they correct what has ever happened, you said it perfectly. They're going to waste a generational pitching staff. The Royals, any other year, if they were dead last in runs, we probably would be done talking about the Royals in June. Like, I don't think in Pittsburgh, outside of Paul Skene's day, they're doing a lot of Pirates talk. I'm betting really good money in Denver. They're not talking about the Rockies. Those are two teams that have scored more than the Royals this year. So it is frustrating that they are wasting this pitching staff. And whatever the however we got here, runners in scoring position, home runs, walks, OBP, whatever the thing, they need to correct it because there's still a team that can make a wild card in there. And yeah, we can disagree on the value of the wild card and all those things, but that team is still in there. We read the lineup from this date last year on the show. It's basically the same. So What's infuriating about the Royals and why I think they are more frustrating than a regular bad Royal season, because Carrington, we've been through some bad Royal seasons. What makes them more frustrating is you think to yourself, if you can just course correct the one thing, we're not asking you for, you know, hey, we need D. Brown and Desi Arleford to have all-star seasons. No, just course correct the one thing, and that same good team from last year is still in there, and it's mind-numbing they haven't found a way to make that the norm.
I just want to read this text to you guys, and this is where I'm going to push back on. Someone says, CDOT, it's just nice to talk about the Royals being competitive. At least we aren't checked out already, like 30 of the first 38 years of my life. I understand that for the most part, but I guess where I would push back on is this just isn't a very fun team to cheer for. Like, if the Royals were like a scrappy, fun, excited to go out there, watch kind of team, I would kind of get that mentality. I mean, that's kind of what the Royals were last year. The Royals last year were not a juggernaut, heavyweight kind of team, but there was like something scrappy about the Royals, something that you could really appreciate about that team. I don't really get that sense with this team. Not at all. Like, are you guys having fun with this baseball season? Sure, the Royals are hovering around 500, but I mean, the Royals are dead last in runs. They're dead last. The Royals have lost 15 of their last 18 home games. So that means when you decide to go out there and buy tickets, or you decide to take your family out there, you decide to go on a date out to Kauffman Stadium, at least in the last 3 weeks, the Royals, for the most part, have lost when you've gone to the games, and they haven't scored when you've gone to the games. In their last 18 home games, they've scored 34 runs. On average, when you go out to Kauffman Stadium, they don't score 2 runs a night when you go out there. So I understand what their record says. Yes, their record says they're above 500. They're one hot streak away. Yeah, but the only way this team can get hot is if you start scoring runs. You don't get hot beating everybody for 2 weeks, 2-1, 3-2. That's not how you really are going to get hot and go on that kind of streak. You got to wake up bats if you're talking about that. So yes, their record says that they're competitive, but I'm asking you how you feel. The same way if we go to a field goal kicker, right? A field goal kicker, it says that he's going to make 85% of his kicks. When he goes out there to kick a 51-yard field goal, how do you feel about it? Does he make you feel like he's going to make it? That's kind of where I am with the Royals. I know what their record says. Yeah, they're right in it, man. They're only a game and a half out of the wild card. Yeah, they can do this. I mean, they haven't scored basically for a month. They haven't won a home game in June. The month's almost over. They have 5 more games at home this month. They haven't won a game yet. So I'm not necessarily talking about their record. I'm not talking about the standings. I'm talking about, how do the Royals make you feel right now? When you buy a ticket, when you come home and you're about to throw something on the grill and you turn the Royals on the television and you watch a couple of innings, how do they make you feel? And right now, they are not putting an enjoyable product on the field. I don't know how you can feel that way. They just can't score enough.
It's the least fun watching their games. We talked about this earlier. Listen, there's a lot of reasons that me and you like the 03 team, mostly because the first time we had seen winning baseball in our adult lives, and it was so new and fun and exciting. But when we look back at the stats, and you look at the 03 Royals team, boy, could they not pitch. That's one of the reasons why they were a fun, plucky, just missed the wild card team, is because they couldn't pitch even a little bit. But man, they could score, and that made it fun. And you know what they also did that this team doesn't do, which adds to the headache? That team could win when they were at Kauffman Stadium. They were like, they may have lost when they went to Comiskey or whatever it was called then for Cleveland, a Progressive Field or whatever, Jacobs Field, whatever. But that 03 team, they made Kauffman a little bit of a fortress. Right now, as if watching 2-1 losses aren't bad enough, and they're bad, it feels like when they have their little fun moments, it's never at the K. Think about just like the last week of baseball, Carrington. Just from the show perspective. A week ago, they swept the Rangers and vibes were high. Caglione homered twice in a day. Perez, they had a big offensive night one night. You know where they did that? Away from the K. Then they had what Vern called the best win of the season Friday night in San Diego. Since then, they lost 2 in a row, and now they came back to Kauffman, and they got, I guess they did score a run last night, but it felt like it was over in the third inning. It just feels like, even if they were a struggling offensive team. If they could find a way to have the little ounce of offense they have on the road and bring it home, maybe fans would care a little more. But they struggle at home, and when they struggle at home, they lose 2-1, and it's like a double dip of ugh from fans.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, the Royals and the Chiefs are the same offensive team. Maybe we just have bad offense fatigue in KC right now watching these two offenses the last 2 years. I'm here to tell you it ain't never been this bad with the Chiefs offense. The Chiefs offense is just simply average. That's what it's been the last couple of years. The Chiefs offense is average. Last season, the Chiefs averaged 22.6 points per game. They were just average. The Royals are last. To give you a comparison, that is equivalent to what Cleveland's offense was last year. Cleveland averaged 15 points a game. So no, the Chiefs and the Royals offense are not the same, not even close to the same. The Chiefs offense is league average. They score around 22 to 24 points per game. Their defense is good enough. You put that together, you win a lot of games. It's hard to win a lot of games if you're near the bottom offensively. I mean, look at the teams last year that were bottom offensively in the NFL to give you a comparison. Cleveland, the Giants, the Patriots, the Raiders, the Bears, the Titans. So in a football sense, yeah, if you're bottom five offensively, hey, you're a bad football team. Now, the Royals, their pitching is certainly keeping them in it. To the point that you just made about the 2003 Royals, one of the reasons we look back finally on that team is they were almost the exact opposite of this team. The Royals in 03 were seventh offensively. They were seventh in offense. They scored 836 runs. They also allowed the sixth most runs. So you're right. They could hit. Boy, could they not pitch. So why the Royals in 03 missed the playoffs? It's kind of hard to win with the ERA, with the team that is as bad. I mean, they had a 5 ERA. You're just not winning a lot of games. And the Royals won 83 games that year. But boy, could they score. And when you score and you run, you get on base and you're stealing bases and you're hitting home runs and guys are hitting doubles and triples. It's just an exciting brand of baseball. An exciting brand. The Royals just don't play a very exciting brand of baseball. They really don't. They're a team that if the opposition, if the Rays score 3 runs today in the first inning, the feeling is going to be that it's over. That's going to be the feeling. That's going to be the impression. That's bad. And again, I want to know how it went so left.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So quickly for a team that largely is the same. We're not talking about a team, and right now we're not even talking about a team that can really use injury as an excuse. It'd be one thing if the Royals didn't have Vinny for this entire season or didn't have Salvi that you could kind of hang the hat on, oh, well, this team's not operating at full strength. The Chiefs' offense was average last year, and everybody was hurt. Their left tackle was hurt. Their running back was hurt. Their number one, their number two wide receiver, their tight end's 162 years old. At least it made sense to me why the Chiefs' offense was average. I don't get at all why the Royals' offense is average. Jonathan India as a leadoff hitter. You have one of the 5 best hitters in the American League. You got a first ballot Hall of Famer catcher in Salvador Perez. Vinny's a 20 home run, 100 RBI guy. You brought up one of the top prospects in baseball in Jack Caglione. I don't get why the Royals are this bad offensively. They don't have the worst. If we go through some lineups in Major League Baseball, the Royals don't have the worst lineup in baseball, but yet they've scored fewer runs than everybody. You kind of are what your stats say you are. And it says that the Royals have the worst offense in all of Major League Baseball. All right, Rob, there are some other things going on in sports today. Today is night one of the NBA draft. Let's get to that for hit number one.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Well, as always, getting to the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, as you mentioned, the NBA draft day one, which who decided this is a 2-day event? Just stupidity by Adam Silver in that office. I don't know if it was ESPN. I don't know, but someone made a very bad decision.
It definitely was a television decision. And then day two tomorrow is like during the day. It's like not 3 even PM. At night. Yeah. It's very, very weird. I'm with you. I don't like what they've done with the NBA draft.
But breaking away from that bad decision, the NBA draft is tonight, which means the first round, which means very likely we will have Cooper Flagg be the first name they mention.
I don't think it's very likely. I think they've already.
It's
I think
a foregone conclusion. Yeah. He is going to be the first they mention.
It's like Carrington. Cam Ward.
Carrington, he is headed to a team that was a little bit of a winner last year. They're in the play-in game with Dallas. They have Kyrie. They have Anthony Davis. Cooper Flagg was the name in college basketball this year. Do you believe he can be that big of a draw in the NBA, or will it be like a lot of players that make the jump and they just kind of fade into obscurity?
Yeah, I think that Cooper Flagg's a little bit different. I mean, if you look at the last 25 years and the freshmen who have won Naismith Player of the Year, it's Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, and now Cooper Flagg. If you are the best player in college basketball as a freshman, you usually turn out to be a very, very good NBA player. Now, maybe he doesn't turn out to be Kevin Durant, who's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Same thing with Anthony Davis. But this is one of the highest floors we've seen of a college prospect, certainly in quite some time. I think what the NBA is desperately looking for is another American star. I think America has a lot of very good basketball players. I don't know if there's a lot of like stars in this sense that really drive interest. I do wonder if Cooper Flagg is going to be one of those kind of players. I mean, he's somebody who has been talked about in basketball circles for quite some time. He went to the most popular university. He then got drafted by a team in a major market with a good organization that's going to play on a lot of nationally televised games next year. I mean, he has all of the things that have built up to be a very well-received and well-hyped player. If Cooper Flagg had played last year overseas, the hype would absolutely be there. If Cooper Flagg had decided to like go play in the Euro League last year and you didn't get a chance to see him and you heard about this 18-year-old that dominated the Euro League and came over here, it does feel like it would be a lot different. I made the analogy earlier, like women's basketball has that player. Women's basketball has the player that excites the public and the public decide, I want to see that player. I don't know if American basketball has that player right now. There's, again, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of really good players. I don't think that America is rushing to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or is rushing to watch Tyrese Halliburton. I know you like to make fun of Jason Tatum. I don't think he drives interest in that way. Maybe Anthony Edwards is that player and certainly can grow into it. He has the personality, has the game to do that. But I do wonder if Cooper Flagg, we're talking about 6'8", 6'9", went to Duke, basketball phenom at 18 years old. I do wonder if he has a chance to really excite people to want to see him play.
Let me ask you a question. You said you think Cooper Flagg would have more hype, more buzz. We were talking about him as a basketball prodigy if he played outside the United States last year.
I do think that.
He entered the draft, reclassified the whole deal. Is he just a product of college basketball's problem? I know we talked about college basketball earlier in the show, and I love college basketball, but you're right. It does have a connectivity problem with their fans and their product. It used to be, oh, you knew everyone in college basketball. Now you barely know anyone, the casual fan, that is. Do you think the lack of buzz and the lack of hype and the lack of, oh, he's a basketball prodigy is just a college basketball problem? Because I agree with you. If he was coming over from Barcelona, I pick the best pro team in Europe, but that's fine. If he came over from Barcelona and he was this age, we'd be talking about, oh, my goodness, he's Luka Doncic. Remember we talked about Ricky Rubio, like he was going to be that.
For sure.
We would talk about Kristaps, we would talk about him like he's that. Now we're talking about him like, yeah, he'll be a solid role player for the Mavericks. Is this college basketball's problem?
I do think it's some of it. It's just really, really weird. Like, you and I follow this enough. Players who reclassify usually really struggle that first year. It's really hard to do that. You're supposed to be a high school senior, and you have decided to skip your last year of high school and go play major Division I basketball. That's usually a big jump up. Like, that's a big jump up in what we're talking about. Cooper Flagg made that jump recently and, I mean, made it look pretty easy. He's a high school senior that just averaged 19-9 at Duke and was the best player in college basketball. Like, now entering his rookie year of the NBA is when he was supposed to be entering his true freshman year of college. I just feel like players who are clearly that advanced, when they come from overseas and there's that kind of aura of mystery around them. We just kind of view them differently as prospects. I think the Cooper Flagg is the best American prospect that we've had since Anthony Davis. Like, if I'm just thinking about when you watched him play at college, and I guess Zion would fit in that, but the injury concerns with Zion were just there. I think we all knew watching Anthony Davis, oh, he's going to be a good NBA player. Now you had your questions. Hey, can the outside game develop? Can he shoot it? Was he going to be able to figure things out on offense? Like, Anthony Davis was not a perfect prospect by any means, but you remember, and you saw him in that national championship game. You saw him at multiple steps. They played KU early in the year and late in the year. Thomas Robinson was a very, very good college basketball player. It was obvious he was not the best player in college basketball, and who was the best player in college basketball? I think that same thing just happened. The kid from Auburn was the second best college basketball player last year. It was not close who was the best one. I think it was Cooper Flagg. I think there used to be a measure of excitement for that player as he entered the NBA. I don't know. Maybe it's weird. I just don't really feel like that's there right now for Cooper, where I do feel like it would be there if he was a foreign player.
I wonder, too, and I agree, Cooper's a great player. You made the Anthony Davis comparison. I think what's different is, we talk about this with baseball all the time, how one of the reasons why, and they're growing, and I think they've done a better job recently, is they don't have, like, the TikTok moments, the YouTube highlights. They don't have, like, that social media, everyone's like, oh, did you just see this moment? I don't think Cooper Flagg has those moments. And that's not to mean he's not a great basketball player. I heard Colin Cowherd say, like, he doesn't have a bag, as the kids say. He doesn't have, like, that go-to move. Like, Kyrie had things he was doing, you're like, oh, that's different. Zion was dunking everything. Anthony Davis, part of that national title game was not just that he was better than Thomas Robinson. Thomas Robinson was a National Player of the Year candidate, 6'8", good power forward. It looked like he was a kindergartner playing against an adult. He was getting everything blocked at the rim by Anthony Davis. There were moments and there were highlights and there was things where you went, oh, he's special. Cooper Flagg's special is that he's a really well-rounded player and is playing a quality of basketball beyond his age, but he doesn't have that. The kids on TikTok saw him do that. Like, right now, if I had to pull the text line, what's Cooper Flagg's most iconic college play? It's probably being on the floor while he chokes the game away against Houston. There's nothing else that, ooh, do you remember that play? And I wonder if some of that lack of buzz comes from, hey, just well-rounded basketball players, which is what he is, don't have that pop moment, like Zion blowing out his shoes. Like, and if he had one of those moments, we would feel differently about the buzz around this draft.
I think it was against Pittsburgh. Remember, he had that kind of breakaway dunk where he dunked on somebody. That was a pretty impressive play. I know we don't have a lot of time left. Rob, there are 5 days left in the extension for Kansas about what they're going to do. We are in the middle of the week. Do you feel like we're getting an update here in the next 2 days? Because I don't really feel like the Royals are preparing on making a statement here on Thursday or Friday. How are you feeling about this thing? Because it feels like we are heading towards an extension in Kansas.
So I actually do have an update.
Oh, we have an update. Okay, let's go.
It's a non-update update.
Oh, we have an update that there's not an update. All right.
Earlier today, I emailed with the with Ty Masterson. He basically is in charge of, he's an important person in Kansas. I know we're low on time. He's an important person in Kansas.
Okay, all right, got it.
I emailed him, hey, talk about trying to get him on the show, talk about the deadline and this hard deadline that is on June 30th. Here's the email I received back. The deadline can be extended, but that extension doesn't need to occur before the June 30th deadline. I hope that helps. Maybe we can get something figured out. So it's a deadline, but it's not a deadline.
Okay, well, all right.
So I think June 30th might be a day that comes and goes, and then we get a news story that, oh, Kansas retroactively just changed it.
Okay. Oh, I got you. So June 30th is not a deadline. It's just a suggestion.
The deadline can be extended, but that extension doesn't need to occur before June 30th. So they can retroactively extend deadlines.
Okay. I got it. All right. Hey, no, that makes sense. I mean, one side of them was saying they weren't planning on extending. Now we might extend it. Okay. All right. I got you. We'll certainly see what happens. All right. Tomorrow, the Royals have a day game. I'll be on after the day game. Enjoy the rest of your day. If you're heading out to Kauffman Stadium, maybe you're going out on the patio, having something to drink. Maybe you're grilling. Maybe you're spending time with the family today. I'll catch you guys tomorrow after the game. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.